Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
This is going to be... And now... Standing at a below average height, from out of the Shire of Fire, all the way from Middle Earth, the hobbit you didn't want, but know you need, Mr. Jonathan Bowles!
That was epic.
That was so good.
That was so good.
And you should have faded that out. That would have been really good.
I don't know.
Anyways, Jonathan is back with us.
We're so excited.
It's so fun.
Mr. Frodo of the Shire, how's it feel to be back?
He's been on an adventure, taking the ring back to the eye.
You guys don't know this, but Jonathan's giving us the evil eye right now. This is also take number four for us.
I just finally decided to take the high road. You know?
It's probably the first time he's ever stood above someone, too.
What's so funny is, Austin may be a half inch taller than me.
It's true.
Maybe.
I'm only a half inch.
Maybe a half inch taller than me.
Maybe 2 inches.
Maybe 70 IQ points below me. 3/4 inch taller. 1/2 inch at the most, you know.
Oh, man.
But, you know, you just think it's so funny. Like, oh, he's a hobbit. He's a dwarf.
I think it's more so the ears thing.
I really, like, if you just talk to people who know me and Jonathan, it really is. Jonathan and I are pretty close to the same height. But you do have, you do seem shorter. Like, from a distance?
I think that's true.
Because I'm such a humble guy.
That's not it.
He's so lowly.
That's what it is. It's like, I don't try to make my presence imposing. I don't bow my chest out and broaden my shoulders and bow up on people and, you know,
that's
act
right.
All
he's
macho
not like,
and stuff.
He's not like Colton, a college athlete over here.
That's right.
Me and Colton.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jonathan's got bad posture.
If you looked at all three of us right now, nobody could tell that anybody was a college athlete.
That's fair.
Unless it was sumo wrestling.
Oh, goodness.
No, I don't want to hear it.
That's just what I do in my free time. Nowadays. No, but we're glad to have Jonathan Bowles back. How is it being a father 1 month in? Tell us a little bit about... Hey, I'm going to ask two questions real quick. What is the most surprising thing about being a father? And what has been the most tiresome thing about being a father?
And I have a question that... What was your favorite episode from all the podcasts that Colton and I recorded together?
All right. So there's 7 questions there.
Favorite
thing about being a father. One of the favorite things is I think it's going to be a little bit easier than I initially thought. When you surround yourself with people like Austin and Colton, and it's really good to have these kind of proverbials, don't be like this when you grow up. So really, honestly, these guys are doing half of the work for me. So if John Anders grows up around these guys, I can just say, watch what they do and do the opposite. I won't ever have to tell him anything. So that's been pretty good. Tiresome. I don't know, man. It's all kind of tiresome. I'll say my wife's a champ. I work during the day. Kelly's off on maternity leave, and then she won't actually have to go back to work. And so she's been taking the night shift, and I am so grateful for that. So, I mean, I'm not going to act like I've been just super duper physically beat down. I was sick for about 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks that we got back with him. And so that kind of beat me down, but it's not so bad so far. We're grateful. There's been a lot of grace from the Lord.
So your wife has taken the night shift and the day shift.
Yeah.
So she just takes all the shifts.
Yeah, she thought that she was getting off work, but she really just traded in her 10-hour day job for 24-hour day job.
Man, you must be one lucky guy.
Hey, but let me tell you, Jonathan yesterday, he took care of John Anders for like 5 hours all by himself. So
pretty
he got
much
a little
the
bit
whole day. Kelly got to do her own stuff a little bit yesterday afternoon, so it was okay.
She came over to the house. We had some church members over. Jonathan stayed home with the kids, so he made some sacrifices there.
Way to go, bud.
I was really proud of him.
Very proud of you, man.
But, man, the kid is adorable.
He's a cutie.
He looks just like Jonathan looked.
Bro.
Which is kind of crazy.
Sad. I'm sorry.
You call my child a hobbit, I'll slit your wrist right now. I'll cut you from right here. Don't talk about my child.
Is there like a Frodo sword somewhere you can use? one of your homeland swords.
We call that butterbeer.
I actually have swords from your homeland. I have katanas on the wall.
That was good. Good time. Good banter. Let's get to the question of the day.
All right, Jonathan, you've got the question at hand. Let's bring that up.
All right, wait.
He should have it.
Do you hear the voice difference for Colton? Like the difference of like
bing, bing, bing,
he has like a different voice that he uses for the podcast versus when he's just talking to us. It was just me.
I also have a different voice from when I'm being attacked and when I'm not being attacked. I don't know if maybe anybody will hear that.
I don't know.
All right, let's
which
go.
Voice? Wait, what voice do I have now?
No, you're good. That was good.
Am I good?
Yeah,
is good.
That was good. All right. We've been working on it. You wouldn't know because you don't listen to our podcast when you're not on it.
Y'all don't have anything to say that I need to hear.
Question of the day is...
All right. So the question that we have today is...
From a listener.
It reads, what steps do you personally take and what are some steps that you would think would be good to avoid moral failure / sinning?
Okay. Personal steps that we take, good steps that we can take to avoid moral failure / sinning. Interesting.
I think...
Do we think it's important to distinguish between the two? Is there a difference between moral failing and sinning?
No, I think this is more... That wording comes from the individual's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And their recent familiarity with those two terms.
Gotcha.
So I think that was just a point of clarification. What he was talking about was, you know, either moral failure or sinning, whichever one you want to call it. But that's kind of what he's talking about.
Gotcha.
Use them synonymously.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
More of a clarification.
So what do we got?
I think when I first originally heard the question, I really thought to myself, well, if you're going to fight against sin... And I feel like you really need to know, like, where's your motivation lie? Like, we can all look at the Bible and obey a command and it'd be fine. Like, you see that, like, Jesus talks about that in Matthew 5. He says, oh, you didn't go killing people? You didn't murder people? Good for you. You know, it's like Jesus recognizes, you can obey it. But then he gets down deeper into it and goes, but, like, let's check out the heart. Did you hate somebody?
Right.
You know, so... I really think that we have to like look at the motivation of the heart, which gets a little bit deeper into, I think, how do we avoid sin or how do we run from sin? And so I immediately thought of Romans 12 when Paul says, by the mercies of God, live your life as a living sacrifice. But like he says that by the mercies of God, he says that with this framework of the gospel that we've been sanctified by and saved by as our motivation to live holy lives.
For sure.
And so first and foremost, I think if we're going to fight against sin, we have to have a right understanding of what is the gospel and what exactly did Christ come and do for us? Because that's where we find our motivation to run away from sin and live moral lives. Like, God-centered, God-holy lives.
Yeah, I think that's good for the listener. You know, we got to recognize that. Like Austin's saying, doing morally good things for morally good sake is not the goal of the Christian, right? Like, and I would even go so far as to say, if there are non-Christians out there who live morally good lives, that we would say, hey, yeah, that's morally good, and they're doing that just for goodness sake, then they're not accomplishing anything of real significance.
The danger is if we answer the question and we say, here's 10 steps of how to live a better life.
Yeah.
We don't really answer the question of the gospel.
Well, what we'd be doing is writing a Joel Osteen book.
Yeah. That's actually pretty true. You got anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, I think it is tricky because, and I think even the language of the question kind of, you know, it necessitates that clarification there. It's kind of tricky because, you know, on one hand, you could say that the point of Christianity is not to be more moral, but the point of Christianity is to be more like Christ, and Christ was the most moral. So in a sense, being one of the biggest points of Christianity is to be more moral, but not to be moral for moral sake.
Yeah, the motivation is to pursue.
Right.
To pursue holiness, and in doing that, we're pursuing Christ, who was holy.
And the perfect difference is to the ends, right? Like, morality is to, like, work your way to like circumstantial situation, like a better place. Like, I'm a better person now,
so I can be saved.
Right, but
so
like,
I deserve Christ.
Mm.
But being more moral in a Christ-like sense is not having righteousness as an end goal, but being having Christ-likeness. So I'm not being more moral to be more righteous. I'm being more moral to be more like Christ, to better honor that sacrifice and better honor the fact the Lord has called me into righteousness.
With that, I think of Ephesians 2, right? So Ephesians 2 says that we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. But then it says, but God, being rich in mercy, saved us through Christ. So we've been saved by grace through faith. But then it says, but this is not of your own doing, so that you may not boast in your own work. But it says that God has actually created good works for you to walk in. I think that's what you got to think about. So the good living that we seek as Christians is because, one, God saved us from sin. He brought us from sin to, or from death to life in Christ, so that we may look like Christ. And then he set us on a path that said, hey, I've created these things for you guys to go do. They're good things. Now walk in them, right? Yeah. Look more like them or look more like Christ by doing these things.
Yeah.
You know?
I think about Philippians where it says, work out your salvation, for it is the Lord who's working in you to will and good works, right? Yep. So like, we trust that as we pursue obedience from the scriptures, our pursuit is motivated by the work that the Lord is doing in us, because he says at the very beginning of Philippians, right, that this good work that Christ has started in us, he will bring to completion at the day of Jesus.
Yeah.
So anything good that we do, anything moral that we do, any running from sin that we do, it is in some sense us, but in a bigger sense, it is Christ by his Holy Spirit working in us to do these good things. So apart from Christ's death and resurrection, and apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, we can't really run from sin.
Yeah, I think, I think.
So we really
shift in there.
I was about to say, we need to answer the question.
Yeah, shift in there from like our points of clarification to how do you do it? I was thinking Romans 8:13, right? Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so I think a huge thing there is when you start talking about being more like Christ or trying to kill sin, the mortification of sin, right? How you do it. There's only one way to do it.
That'd be a good title to a book. The mortification of sin.
The only way to do it is by the Spirit. And so I think, you know, there's a big conversation. There's a really nuanced conversation. A big conversation is utilizing the means of grace. And so I think maybe we stick to that. Mm-hmm. You could nuance it to death. Like, there are little bitty particular things that we do in our lives, and maybe we do that some other time. We talk about like little individual things with individual sins. But on a grander scale, this is more of a general question. Like, on a grander scale, how do you avoid sinning? And that is putting those sins to death by the Spirit, which I would say would be leaning into the means of grace.
Right.
Which is what we talked about. In some way, one of the means of grace is, you know, when we gather together in the church, you know, we find these means of grace in the local body. So it actually, in God's providence, we found out we were going to use this question today without any mention of last week's episode, but those two episodes kind of tie in, because we really need to be a part of the local body for our own sanctification, our own pursuit of holiness.
To even speak to that, so one of the ways that this has been, I would say this has actually been very specifically challenging for me, I'll say not challenging, but it's someone has challenged me in this, is through church, our pastor, or one of our pastors has been consistently over the last couple of weeks challenging everyone in our body to every day as you wake up, to make a concerted, timely effort before you do anything else to just go before the Lord, seeking his will, his power, to walk throughout the day in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which we've been called. And one of the ways that I've just been very pointedly thinking about that is in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And so for me, I know personally, when I think about how do I stay clear of sin and live in Christ every day, at some point before I start anything else, I've got to make the concerted effort to go, today I will deny myself. Because at the essence of sin is self. Mm-hmm. It's choosing self. Being a parent, I've experienced this more than ever, because I spend all day working hard to provide for my family. And then I come home and I've got a 5-year-old daughter, and she wants nothing more than to play with dad. And there are times when I'm just like, man, I just want to do nothing. I want to sit on my phone, watch a stupid video, and just have time to myself. And that's very selfish of me to do these things when I've got a daughter who wants nothing more than just to love and be with her father. And so I've got to make that thought process very clear in my mind every day. Deny myself, take up my cross, and then follow Christ.
You know, it's interesting because in that you point out the two greatest commands, to love God and to love people. Like, so by denying yourself, you are ultimately pursuing God and loving God more. And then as you deny yourself to serve and to play and to hang out with your daughter, you're in essence loving your neighbor as you would yourself. And so you see those two greatest commandments that Christ pulls out right there in that illustration. So that's pretty good.
And I think, you know, to Jonathan's point earlier, I think there is definitely an opportunity for us in the future to talk about specific nuances about specific things that maybe we're struggling with. But in the grander scheme of things, I think sometimes we make it really difficult, like, to stop sinning or to not seek sin. We go, man, there's just no way I can stop. Well, if you love Jesus, it says that you will seek the things of Jesus, right? So if we love him, then that's what we'll seek after. And if we don't love him, then we're not going to seek after stopping. I think it can be as simple as that in some ways.
I do think, too, as we pursue this, I think that we have to constantly remind ourselves that we talked about this morning at church. We talked about sins that are intentional versus sins that are unintentional. And that there are prayers in Scripture. We see them in the Psalms. David prays these prayers about these, like, Lord, forgive me of the sins that I don't even know that I've committed. And so I do want to say this, that until Christ returns, we cannot escape these moral imperfections, that we have, and we cannot escape sin fully until we are with Christ fully. And so I think that I really like that in one sense, and that is this, that it casts our eyes to pray to the Lord more and to really seek dependence on the Lord. So I would say to avoid sin, we need to be dependent on the Lord and know his word day, you know, get into his word daily so that we can know him more and more and more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I agree on the onset, maybe the most simple thing, maybe the most obvious thing, and it kind of depends on where you are in your walk, right? But if you're kind of in the beginning stages of this thing, then the most simple thing and kind of the most obvious thing is reading the Bible so that you know what sin is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people, right? So there's a lot of things and there's a lot of, like, conflicting views, even within, like, quote unquote Christianity or Christian spheres, you know, about what is sinful and what's not sinful. I think priority number one is devoting yourself to reading the Bible and learning the Bible and seeing what the Bible calls sin. Because you can't avoid something that you don't know.
True.
Yeah. I think so. One of the places I started was, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, was Matthew 5. I think that Jesus does a really good, obviously he does the best job of interpreting the law, right? I mean, because he does say, like, yeah, you guys are really avoiding all these sins externally, but you're forgetting that these things in the law actually reflect something internally that's going on in your heart. And so I would say, study the Sermon on the Mount and learn from Jesus that being obedient to the law is much deeper than your external actions, but it really pierces through the heart and examines who you are at your core. So that was one thing. And then the other thing too, find the commands that we see in Scripture and seek to obey them to the best of your ability to the glory of God. So, like, I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when I thought about this question, and he says, Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Like, that you would be cleansed from sin, that you would be moral, that you'd be upright, righteous. And then he says, from there, he says, your sanctification. So then he gives some things to abstain from, right? He says that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and he gives several other examples as well. But I would say, learn those type of passages and memorize those and put them to heart. Like, God says, this is the will. This is my will for you, your sanctification.
Yeah. I think a very important aspect of all this is there are times when we as Christians forget the most important aspect of knowing knowing one, how we are saved, but also who gives us the strength, and that is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It can be very easy for people just kind of to brush off the Holy Spirit as kind of like this background player. But Jesus himself says in John that I must go so that the greater one may come, right? The one who is better for you. And I think you really, if you are in Christ, one, if you've confessed your sins and you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, well, one, we believe that as Christians that Christ has then filled you with the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you because you've confessed Christ and you believe and you know this to be true and you want to follow, then the Spirit will guide you as well. All of a sudden, as you're reading Scripture, as you're, you know, studying the Word of God, as you're understanding what the law is, you'll start to be convicted of the sin that's already there. Mm-hmm. And then as you continue to walk, I believe that the Spirit will convict you of sin that has not yet presented itself, you mm-hmm. know, something that maybe you're just not aware of, or maybe you're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But all of a sudden, as you start to do it, the Spirit is going to say, hey, look, this is not in step with the Lord. So I would encourage you very carefully as you're walking in life, discern within yourself, is the Spirit guiding me through my conscience to know what is right and what is wrong? Is the Spirit guiding me towards this, or is he guiding me away from this? Mm-hmm. Is he giving me an inner peace about it, or is he not giving me an inner peace about it? Don't deny what the Spirit of God, right? One of the triune gods, one of the triune people within the Godhead is doing for you and within you.
Yeah, I think as one thing that I think about personally is like, because of my sin nature, because, you know, I am selfish and I am prideful, there are times, especially early in my faith, where I didn't want to be around people who I thought were better Christians than me. But I think that one of the ways that we can pursue a life of righteousness and turn away from these sins and immoral life is to just commit to being around people who are just holier than you. Like, yeah. You just love the Lord more than you.
That's a good point.
And that's really hard to admit to yourself. But when you can just say, you know what? This person loves the Lord, and he loves the Lord deeper than me, and I want to love the Lord on that level. Mm. Then you make yourself be around him, then you'll just learn to love the Lord by the example of much more mature, godly men or women in your life. And that can be a huge blessing and a huge encouragement, because mature believers encourage immature believers mm-hmm. in growing in their faith too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that's going to wrap things up for us. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Exiles Pod, as well as private message us any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. And before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, share this episode, and give us a like. And until next time, peace.
See you.
Bye.